Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LaMelo Ball has plenty of confidence coming into tonight's NBA draft. Yesterday, he told reporters that he was born to be the number one overall pick. The confidence is warranted since many mock drafts do have LaMelo going to the Timberwolves with the top pick tonight, while some have them taking Anthony Edwards. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, I'm curious what you think about LaMelo. Is he the best player in this draft?
That's a tough question. Look, he's got some natural gifts that you just can't teach. You saw the highlights. He is a legit 6'6 point guard with great court vision and passing ability. Now, you could say that about his brother Lonzo, who obviously hasn't been a great pro to date. What I like about him more than Lonzo is that he'll keep the ball in his hands. Like, Lonzo's very quick to give it up and doesn't make a lot of plays off the dribble, whereas LaMelo will pat the ball and make plays off the bounce, keep it a lot longer than Lonzo does. I think he'll be better at pick and roll than Lonzo. So I like him a lot. In talking to teams around the league, people are concerned about a lack of maturity. He doesn't even know the defensive end of the floor exists. So he's not even thinking about playing any defense. And the other thing is, this guy has had a real small amount of real competition or competitive play. Like, we know what it was like when he was in high school in California, right? It was cherry picking galore, playing with his brothers and all that stuff. Then he goes to Lithuania, where they only play exhibition games. He wasn't playing in like a legitimate European league facing men and real competition. It was exhibition games. He comes back and goes to this high school in Ohio, I think it was Spire, and everything was built around him being there. They just wanted his star power. And then when he goes to Australia, the league, rather than the team, paid his salary and dictated to the team, look, he's going to be your starting point guard. You've got to play him. And when he played, despite the nice highlights, they really didn't win. And so a lot of teams are wondering about, you know, his attitude toward the game. Nobody disputes his talent, but there are major concerns about the intangibles. Michael Jordan really likes him, and I actually think that's where he's going. I think Anthony Edwards will go first to Minnesota. I think James Wiseman goes second to Golden State, and LaMelo goes third to Charlotte and Michael Jordan. And if he can be in a professional environment and mature, he could be a great player. But right now, I think James Wiseman is the best player in the draft. And I think going forward, Anthony Edwards will become the best player in this draft.
Well, Skip and I was talking about it earlier today. It's because you don't have a Shaq, you don't have a LeBron or Tim Duncan, this is why we're still having these questions, because those were slam dunks. No matter what you wanted, you couldn't trade your entire franchise to get those guys, because those guys were viewed as franchise-altering players. I don't think anybody in this draft is being viewed as a franchise-altering player. And you have the same concerns that I have. It's the sample size in which I've seen him against competitive competition. We haven't seen a whole lot of that. At least we saw Edwards a whole year in college. We saw Wiseman play high school ball, and we saw him play, what, 5-6 games in college. But we've seen something. We haven't really seen competitive basketball from LaMelo. But because he's 6'7 point guard, and because the big is not as valuable as it once was. Now, maybe Wiseman can work on his shot and get out the three-point range like Anthony Davis did. Because if you remember when he came out, Chris, AD wasn't shooting no threes at Kentucky. AD was a defensive stopper.
Right.
Averaging over four blocks a game, but he's a little over 13 points, I think 10, 11 rebounds. So, but he worked on that aspect of his game, and now he's added that to his game. Edwards, I like Edwards. Tremendous off the bounce, can get to the rim, could get to the rim, shoot the mid-range, three-point shot, leaves a lot to be desired. But because I think LaMelo has so much upside, and that's when you look at basketball, that's what they look at, upside. His ceiling, I believe he's going to go number one. Is he the best player? I don't know about all that, but I believe because of his upside is so great, I believe he goes one.
All I know is that LaMelo Ball times 100 is the most intriguing player in this draft. And I'm here to tell you that sitting in a seat right here at this table 4 years ago, his father, LeVar, love having him on the show, don't always agree with him, but LeVar told me in a break, my youngest is going to be by far my best.
Yeah, and the biggest.
He's the biggest. Yeah, Chris said 6'6". I think he's 6'7" already, and they're saying they're not sure he stopped growing. They're not sure he won't end up being a 6'8 point guard. He obviously has his oldest brother's passing gift. He is a much more offensively talented and willing player than Lonzo is. And yet, Chris, I asked Shannon this earlier, and I don't have a great answer to it. I just know what that little voice in back of my mind is screaming at me. Are we sure that these Ball kids care enough about winning, about being great? Are we sure they have any killer will in them? Do they have the drive, the hunger, the passion for basketball that it takes to eventually dominate at the NBA level? I'm just not sure about it. And the irony of this is, LeVar is straight out of Compton. His kids are straight out of Chino Hills because they grew up fairly privileged. Let's say, I'm going to give it like upper middle class.
Right.
And I'm not going to say they had silver spoons in their mouths, but they had cars at 16, 17. They had Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and we got it. And already LaMelo is a star of a reality show called Ball in the Family. You're going to have to deal with that whole package of what does he really want to do with his life? Is he going to be obsessed with being great in the NBA? I don't get that from Lonzo. I get the feeling like they're playing a video game in their living room, kicked back on the couch. You know, that's how they look at basketball. And they can be really good at it because they're gifted just by doing it that way. But I'm talking about the first pick in the draft. And to your point, there's not a Shaq. There's not a Magic. There's not that guy.
Yeah,
there's not
LeBron.
A difference maker. There's not a LeBron who's going to change your life.
Right.
But still, if you want to gain attraction, you know, again, I would love to see LaMelo go to Michael Jordan because Michael needs a gain attraction. He needs a sideshow, and LaMelo would be the ultimate sideshow.
Well, Skip, when I look at it, Chris, and maybe you're going to test this, it's hard to instill the values because the way I came up to try to raise my kids like that, Skip, you're going to jail.
I got it.
So LeBar growing up in Compton and trying to instill Compton values
There's just some hunger. There's something where I got to do this. There's a fear of failure that drove you.
Yes.
A fear of failure. I don't want to fail.
But here's the thing, though, Chris. When my grandmother's, you know, telling me things, it's easy because I'm looking around, I'm in 1,000 square foot. Me trying to tell my kids they got 10,000 in a three-car garage, it doesn't resonate the same.
It doesn't. I agree.
You know, but some guys have it. I mean, look, one of the greatest guys with the killer instinct was who? Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
He grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, privilege, and nobody wanted it more. And Michael Jordan, he was probably what, middle
class? Just middle class.
Yes.
Middle class. Wilmington.
Yep. Right. So some guys just have it. But, with LaMelo, a thing a lot of guys around the league talk about, like executives, is did you choose the game or did the game choose you?
Yep.
And guys that choose the game really love it and continue to work at it even after they get the celebrity, the fame, the money, the women, all of that. They're guys that the game chose because of your size, because of your athletic ability, maybe in this case because of your parents and your family, your dad, you know. And so that's the big question, Skip. You're right, with LaMelo. And there are a lot of people that feel like he just wants to be a celebrity, right?
Yeah.
And he already is a celebrity.
He is.
And
then
you become incredibly wealthy because of the money and the fame and the lifestyle. And he's not the only one. There are a lot of other players in the league people feel that way about. But that is the big question mark with him. Is he going to have that killer instinct to work on his
game? And then final fear factor for LaMelo, like Lonzo, when he went to Australia, small sample size, but he shot 25% from three. And I look at the videos, and he's got this funky two-hand push, quote-unquote, jump shot. It's not right. It's not good. It won't work at the highest level. At Australia, he shot 20 for 80 from three. 20 for 80. It's no good. And he will jack them up. And you're going to have to fix that going forward, like Lonzo is trying to fix from here back over to here.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, Chris, you know, we say that in football. Do you love football or do you love what football provides?
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to five times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Start Saturday strong with the Big Noon Kickoff Show live from Columbus at 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by Big Noon Saturday, where Indiana looks to continue their incredible season against Heisman contender Justin Fields and number 3 Ohio State. I had a great chat with Fields last night. He is ready. This is going to be a great game. I'll be there this weekend. It's all on Fox and the Fox Sports app. It's already been widely reported that James Harden wants out of Houston and has his sights set on Brooklyn. And now we might know one reason why the MVP is ready to move teams. Harden has reportedly been upset with the Rockets making decisions without substantial input from their star players. So, Shannon, should Houston have given him more input?
Absolutely, Skip. This is the way it is in the NBA. And this is what happens, Skip, when you get into a business and you don't fully understand or have the grasp of what that business entails. Now, he's a billionaire, worth, looking at his estimate, worth a little over $4 billion. He's the owner of the largest, I think, restaurant corporation in America.
We're talking about the Houston
Tillman Fertitta.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Skip, when he's probably used to doing things, you don't ask your employees, what should I do? Should I open another restaurant? Should I get this piece of equipment here? That's not what you normally do. But when you go into the business of owning a basketball, you ask your star players, this is how, what are you thinking about this? And because he didn't do that, now there are some other rumors being reported about he has his political views that rubbed James Harden the wrong way.
I can see
and
that.
And just like anything, Skip, just like when LeBron James and these other athletes, they take a risk. Financially, as far as you know, endorsers saying, now, hold on now, you know, the other side, they buy our products too. And so you have to be careful. LeBron basically, and some guys have said, I don't care. Maybe he's saying he doesn't care. Well, James Harden says, I do. Maybe that's part of it. But Skip, in today's game, I mean, the players have always, superstar players have always had a certain level of power. But it's on steroids. It's magnified times 10 now. They're running everything. Hey, what do you think about this coach? I'm thinking about hiring this coach. What do you think about him? Is this somebody you could play for? You're asking your stars. When we're thinking about bringing this guy on, what do you think about that? Skip, from the team trainers, I can assure you, there are very few people that's in that building that LeBron James didn't say, oh, yeah, I can do that. And also, Skip, you know what? I got a couple of boys. They're going to be around here a few times. I mean, you know what? For me to get my hands on LeBron James and have him in my organization, okay, Rich, you want to pass? Here's your card to come in the building anytime. Mav, you want to pass? Randy, you want to pass?
Yep.
Toronto went to as far as they said, okay, Kawhi, we're going to let your fiancé and the child fly on the team plane. Mm. Wherever you want to go. Skip, those are the concessions that you make, Skip. Yeah. You know how this works.
Pat Riley said, I will not give you a, so to speak, pass on any of that.
Right. Yep. And guess what? Pat Riley, hey, do it over again. You keep that LeBron. You keep those guys, Skip. And those are some of the things, the concessions that you have to make in a situation like this. He should have run it by Jay. Because, Skip, they built the whole team around him. How you gonna build a team around a guy and then don't confer with the guy? He's like, hold on, D'Antoni gone? Amari gone? And then what? Ain't nobody tell me nothing? He played it wrong, Skip. I understand your business and you've been successful. Just because you're successful at one business doesn't mean you're going to be successful at another business.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I'm looking at it upside down from you. I need you to define input on draft picks, on player acquisition, you know, like free agents.
Skip, he sees Daryl Morey. Skip, I've never seen a general manager take out a full paid ad and thank the player.
Changed my life, he said.
I've never seen that. There have been a lot of general managers. They never did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mac D'Antoni. Skip, James Harden put Houston on the map. I mean, they were basically a clutch city when they won those two championships, had a law. Then they had Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady.
Back on the map.
Right. Yes. Had Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming. And couldn't get, but they was a doormat. Mm-hmm. Skip, nobody talking about those Houston Rockets until they got that guy.
Okay. So the problem with this is, the dirty little secret is that, as we've discussed before, great players don't even often make great team builders,
right,
as in great pickers of players.
No.
As in, I see that guy can play and that guy can't play.
Right.
I think LeBron does have that gift. And
right,
if he ever wanted to really flex that gift,
right,
and become a GM later in life, I think it would be more trouble than it was worth for him. He has bigger aspirations. Yeah. But I believe he could be a team builder.
Yeah, Skip, but I think the thing is that he's looking at, he's not saying, who can I play with? You're making these moves.
Okay.
You need to run this by, I can play. Now, you're right. Picking a player is like, okay, I'm not on the team. I can't help this team win the game by shooting baskets. Yeah, I think a lot of those guys are terrible at picking talent, mm-hmm, because they think it's easy. It came easy for them.
That is correct. Did Daryl Morey play basketball at all?
No.
Not a lick of basketball
in any
level.
Maybe 2K or something.
No, well, not even that. I'm talking about, he was an analytics nerd from day one,
right,
and he graduated all the way up to top, and he's one of the more respected,
right,
general managers.
R.C. Buford.
R.C. Buford was a walk-on, both football and basketball player, but he didn't play at any high level in,
right,
college or certainly pro basketball. Sam Presti has become like a genius in,
right,
Oklahoma City, especially for acquiring draft picks, but he did not play at any high level in,
right,
college or pro. We can keep going on. David Griffin, who's going to revitalize the Pelicans,
right,
didn't play basketball.
Nope.
And we go all the way back to the greatest player who ever played, Michael Jeffrey Jordan in Chicago, and his GM that he fell completely apart with was Jerry Krause, who didn't play a lick of anything. I don't care,
right,
what anybody said. He was about 5'4", you know, and he didn't play. They said he played baseball. I have a hard time believing that. But the point is that Jerry Krause did one good thing as the GM of the Chicago Bulls. He kept saying no to Michael Jordan's suggestions about go get him, go get him. And it was often go get the guy I played with at Carolina.
Right.
My friend, Al Wood. Remember Al Wood? You know, go get him. No, 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 no,
right,
no. Okay, what have we seen? And I love Jordan to death, but I cannot defend what's happened in Charlotte. He has run their basketball,
right,
operation now for 15 years.
Right.
They have made the playoffs 3 times in 15 years. They have never won a single playoff series. They got swept twice in the 3 times that they've been in the playoffs, and their overall playoff record under Michael Jordan is a grand total of 3-12. That is horrendously bad, and the only reason he doesn't get fired is because he owns the team.
Yeah, you can't fire him.
And it's hard to fire the GOAT, to
me.
You know, like nobody's going to make a case, get him out of there.
Yeah.
Well, he's the greatest player I've ever played.
Right.
Okay, so, but that shows you that the greatest player is not the greatest picker of players or team builder.
I think the thing is, Skip, about what James Harden is like, okay, if you're going to make these moves, at least confer with me. I'm not saying,
okay.
I'm not going to fight you and says, okay, you shouldn't do it, but at least run it by Daryl Morey. Maybe James could have talked Murray into staying. Maybe he could have talked D'Antoni. Because, Skip, I mean, come on now. Steven Silas deserved to get an opportunity. But to go from D'Antoni to Steven Silas when you got those
guys. Yeah, I read that James signed off on Steven Silas. I don't know that Russ and James. And then they decided they weren't signing off on each other.
Right.
Right?
But it's, I mean, what is he supposed to say? Because you know that's going to get out.
Yep.
If he's not, man, I can't believe it, that dude. It's going to get out that James Harden and Russell Westbrook said no to Steven Silas.
Okay.
And why did he say no to the brother?
Okay, but I got you. Unless you just, you think he won't work as your head coach, well, then you should make a little stink and take a stand.
Well, they talk about it, well, he came in and said ball movement.
Yeah.
Well, that was, if he'd said that from the jump, that would have been a no-go. Ball movement with those two guys?
Yep.
Ball magnet, what you mean? Okay,
I got it. And yet, I agree with your premise. In today's NBA,
yes,
you better at least listen. You better solicit the input.
Yes.
I don't know that you need to act upon all of his suggestions,
right.
but you need to make him feel like he's in the loop, right? He's in the power loop.
At least Marks is he honest about it. Oh, yeah, we ran this by Kyrie and KD about Steve Nash. Oh, we ran this about Skip. You just do only Pat Riley. Pat Riley ain't running anything about anybody.
Nope, he's not.
He's not. But he's the only one. But he's going to make it very difficult for him to get the Kevin Durant and the LeBron James to come back because he made some concessions and maybe LeBron wanted a little bit more. And he's like, nah, I'll get y'all. I'm going to get you. To get Tom Brady, Tampa moves heaven and earth. What you want? You want a park where Bruce Arians park? Okay. You want Giselle to have a car slot right next to yours where Bruce? Okay.
I would think so.
Yes.
And Arians says, no way, AB. And Tom says, way.
Yes.
And ultimately, Tom won.
The Broncos made a lot of concessions to get Peyton Manning.
And it
worked. Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yep.
Yes.
You earn it. I mean, you want that respect. I hear
these
you guys.
These big movies. Skip, what they do to get an A-lister? You know that? Oh, nah, we can't
want.
Do that.
Whatever food, whatever drink, whatever hangout spot. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
They built Michael Jordan a court. They built him a court. A full-size court, Skip.
For Space Jam.
Yes. LeBron had one, too.
No mercy.
Ezekiel Elliott's rushing yards per game have dipped every year since entering the league, and many are now taking note. His total scrimmage yards have also taken a major dip the previous two seasons after signing a historic contract extension. This prompted The Athletic's Bob Sturm to ask if it's time for Dallas to move on from their star running back. He writes that the Cowboys, quote, may have to do something they seldom do around here, own a mistake and move on. Former All-Pro quarterback Antonio Cromartie with us this morning. Antonio, do you agree with this?
No, I don't agree with it from a simple fact. I mean, he's 25 years old. He's still young. Yes, his production has gone down, but he still brings a value to that team. And he can move. He can make big plays still in the pass game, also in the running game. I just think, you know, it's been too much talked about just because now it's a down year for him with having, you know, Dak not being there and the offense is not moving the ball like it needs to. And it's just a point of just understanding, like, you don't have these type of seasons. It doesn't mean that he's falling off the cliff and that it's not going anywhere. I just think he's not having the best year right now. I think he has 150 touches for 572 yards. Still can be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. So how is it anything that he's falling off that need to move on? I think it's still a great value in Zeke and what you pay for him.
I agree. I just think Zeke is low-hanging fruit. I mean, you take Dak out of the equation. The offensive line has been banged up. Ty Smith has missed the better part of the season. Lyle Collins didn't play a single game. Zach Martin is in and out. Skip, he missed a game. He left a game early with a concussion and then missed the next game with that concussion-related symptoms. So for me, Skip, the offensive line, is they're not the same team. I'm not so sure they're committed as to running the football as they were early in Zeke's career. They kind of changed that. They started going to more Dak, a pass offense, and then you tried to come back to Zeke once Dak got injured, and that's very, very difficult to do. But Amari Cooper's making $20 million a year. They need to move on from Dak, Coop. I mean, you tell me the guy that's this season, you tell me the guy that's lived up to the money that they're getting paid. There's a reason why they're 2-7. There's enough blame to go around, but Zeke is the biggest name, and Zeke is low-hanging fruit, so I just reach up there and I pick Zeke and say, well, you know what? They need to move on. Look, now they might, Skip was mentioning earlier, Crows, that they have an escalator and they're going to have to make a decision because his 2022 salary will become guaranteed.
In March.
In March.
Yeah.
In March. So they might have to come, you know, may have that conversation. You know how they call you and they say, we need to talk to you. And this is a very difficult discussion for us because you've been so great to the franchise and we love to have you. But we need to take some of your money back. That's basically what they're going to ask you probably to do in this offseason, Crow.
Oh, 100%. You got to look at it. I mean, well, he's due $14 million in 2021 and another 13.5, almost $14 million in 2022. If it comes, so you're looking at it, the production's not there from this standpoint. They're looking at it as like, look, either going to take a pay cut or we can release you. And at the end of the day, you're going to have debt money. You have to build around it. And then you have to figure out how the offense is going to work. You know, you got to think, Mike McCarthy offense was never a heavy run offense anyway. So it was a more of a pass offense. The run game was more of a pass, a play action, throw the ball down the field, get bits and chunks. But he had Aaron Rodgers that was throwing the ball down the field and extending plays. Same thing that Dak can do in this offense. So now you're looking at it, you're like, hey, we don't really need Zeke. It could possibly happen, but he's still a great value at 25 years old.
Crow, I cannot express to you how much I hope you're right and how much I hope this man across from me is right. My better judgment is telling me you're both wrong. Yep, he's still 25 years young, but he's running older and older to me. And I'm just going on my eye test, and I'm pretty good with the eye test. I'm just not seeing Zeke anymore. I want to, every game I say, okay, today is the day, and it's not the day. And just statistically, he led this league as a rookie with 109 yards rushing a game, not to mention the balls, as you point out, that he catches and runs with. But that's fallen all the way down this year to 64 yards a game. It's almost like half of his production as a rookie. And you look at 20-plus yard runs, he had 14 in 2016 his rookie year, led the league in rushing, 14 20-pluses. Then let's skip 17 because he was suspended, but down to 18, he had 11. And then down to last year, he had 4. And now he's got 1 this year of 20-plus yards. It's scary wrong to me. And I had to sit and watch Monday Night Football. I'm watching Dalvin Cook. He is hitting holes like lightning, flashing through the hole. And then I watched Zeke on Sunday, and it's like a flickering light bulb that's about to go bad, about to burn out. You know, that looks like Zeke is so slow. It looks like it's in slow motion going to the hole. And now Zeke is making Tony Pollard look like Dalvin Cook because Pollard comes in and it's like, pow, pow, Zeke, boom, boom, boom. Here we go with some burst. And Tony Pollard against the Pittsburgh Steelers had 2 runs. We can see him real quick of 20-plus yards. And I'm waiting for one from Zeke, and I can't find it because he doesn't seem to have that left in his body. And he's still a very young man. Well, how do I defend that? What's to tell me that he's suddenly going to snap out of it? Because he hasn't snapped out of it for 2 years now.
Crow,
is it two? Man, look, he's going through a funk. Like, you're going to have that as a player. You go through a funk. You go through those sessions. Or you may have a season where you have a down year, but it's just how you're going to bounce back from it. He's not having a great year. The offensive line is not there. He's missing his best friend, teammate, yep, his brother, and that can get him going. And another thing is, it's just, you know, when you look at him, he doesn't have that same burst that you always seen when he came in as a rookie, and also you saw part of 2017 also. But you're not seeing that burst from him that you normally would see. I think it's the vision that you saw earlier in his career. I don't see that he's making the right decisions from that standpoint.
Nope.
But when you look at it, the guy can still play the ball and can change the game at any point in time if he hits the hole that he needs to. And I think that's just something that he's missing. And it just feels like he's not into the game as much as he was early in his career until right now.
But you can't tell me he has those same holes that he had in 2016, in 2017, in 2018, in 2020. I don't see those holes because I could have ran through those holes. I might have not got 1,600, but I'd have got 500 yards at my age running through those big old holes. But here's the thing, Tony, and you talk about Tony Pollard. Crow, you seen the number two receiver. Oh, boy, he's doing it. He's doing it. And as soon as the number one goes and they elevated the number two, all of a sudden you're like, hold on. Because I tell you what, there's a guy in Pittsburgh. When he had AB draw the double coverage, he was the team MVP. Now he gets the double coverage, and Chase Claypool looked like the best receiver on the football team.
You're talking about Juju
Smith. Juju Smith. You see how that works? That's why Tony Pollard looks so good. You elevate him to number one and let him become the focal point of an opposing defense.
I buy that. I got it. But still, it's almost to the point where if you guys can guarantee me Zeke is going to have a bounce back year next year.
And I can't guarantee okay. There ain't no guarantee.
If you will, if Crow will, then I would say put Zeke on mothballs right now. Like, let's just put him on the shelf for the rest of the year because where are we going?
Y'all got a chance to win the division.
Yeah, we're only a game back.
You
on
a game
loss.
Back.
Yeah. I don't know. I would save him.
Save him for what?
For next year when we win the Super Bowl, right?
Man, look here.
Hey, here you go. Dallas Cowboy fans, every year you're going to win a Super Bowl and never make it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you ain't putting nobody on the shelf with $15 million if he's healthy.
You right about that. He got to play that $15 million.
Well, I'm with you. Next March, they're going to put some of that on the shelf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. I mean, I'm going to do the same thing with Amari Cooper, too.
Oh, absolutely.
But they just gave him his money.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I'm going to give some of it. You got to give some of it back.
He's like the number three receiver right now.
Yeah, D-Law is starting to earn his keep.
Oh, yeah.
He's starting to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Antonio, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.
Free agent Rajon Rondo is set to be offered a two-year, $15 million contract from the Hawks. Despite this, Rondo apparently remains focused on joining the Clippers, coming fresh off his championship run with the Lakers. Fox Sports. NBA analyst Chris Broussard rejoins Undisputed right now. So, Chris, what will Rondo do? What should he do, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think anything's written in stone yet as far as the offer from the Hawks, as well as Rondo having a definitive first choice. I think he's looking at a few things. I think he's looking at location. He's looking at the money. And he's looking at his role. And then I would say fourth might be a winning chance to win because he's obviously won a championship with Boston and with the Lakers. So he wants to win, but I think those other three things are just as important to him. And Atlanta, look, I think Atlanta could get him if they just absolutely blow him away with an offer. Because the Clippers can offer the mid-level taxpayer exception, which is about $5 million, and the Lakers can't do any better than that either. And so The Hawks, they have about $40 million that they can spend, but they want a point guard, a shooter, and a big man with all of that money. And obviously, they're not going to, win a championship or anything with Rondo. So how much they offer him remains to be seen. But if they go so far above what the Clippers could offer, then I think they could get him. But if it's relatively close, I like him with the Clippers. He's a big fan of Tyronn Lue. Ty Lue coached him as an assistant when he was in Boston. Look, the Lakers still want him. Now, they obviously signed, they got Dennis Schroeder, but they still want Rondo because they know he's playoff Rondo and he can help him in the postseason. But all things, after saying all that, I think the best place for him, assuming Atlanta doesn't blow him away financially, would be the Clippers, because I think his role there would be bigger than it would be with the Lakers. And then also, Rondo, is he a Hall of Famer yet? I'm not sure. He's kind of on that borderline. He's close. If he were somehow to help the Clippers win the championship, now he's not only done it with the Celtics, the Lakers, but helping the Clippers win their first ring, that would be huge, and I think that would definitely put him in the Hall. So I think his best bet should be the Clippers. But, let's see what the money is from Atlanta and all that.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see a scenario. The Clippers are going to probably have to max him out, though, because, they, as you mentioned, Atlanta can go so much more. And Rondo's about to be 35 in February. These big paydays are going to start. They're going to come far and few between. And I don't believe he's going to get another big payday. So if they go to, let's say, I mean, the reports are 2 years at 15. Let's say they go 2 years at 20. Well, I don't see how he turns $20 million guaranteed, Skip. And that's the thing, guaranteed. And the one thing that we've seen from Rondo over the years, the last couple of years, is injury. Remember, he started injured in the bubble. He was injured, Skip. That happened. The year before, he got injured. That happened. So he has a history of injury. And as you get older, the injuries come with greater regularity, and they keep you out for an extended period of time. Now, the, as you mentioned, the Clippers can offer him something that probably the Lakers can't. More playing time, maybe even a starting role.
Not maybe.
Well, they got Pat Bev, right? No. You know Pat Bev. I remember Pat Bev when they signed Paul George. You remember this last year, Chris? They signed Paul George and Kawhi. He got on IG talking about, I'm a champion. I ain't played a game yet. I'm a champion. You are? What you win? So, Skip, we're not out of the woods. You make it seem like he's already signed with the Clippers. What if he say, I want to run it back? Mm. What if he want to repeat?
You predicting that?
That just might be. But we're not done. I just want to put that seed out there in your head. Mm. Because you think we done right now because we got Schroeder.
Mm.
We're not done. Mm. We got something cooking.
You're about to be done because Rondo is going to be a Clipper and you are going to be ancient history.
Okay.
Chris nailed it. Hall of Fame opportunity to win a third ring with another against the grain team. He went from the Boston Celtics to their arch rival Los Angeles Lakers and won a ring there. And then he's going to walk down the stairs in Staples into the basement and say, you guys, come on upstairs.
No.
I'm going to take you places. I'm going to take you all the way up into the rafters of Staples where we are going to hang a banner.
No, you're not.
That would be Hall of Fame for Rajon Rondo.
Skip, you remember the movie Misery? What happened? When the little figurine was moved, she realized that he had left the room. What mm-hmm. happened? Mm. Rondo don't want that to happen. He know that dealing with the GOAT, mm. he wasn't supposed to leave the room. He was supposed to stay with us. So if you don't want that to happen, you better stay.
Why would he leave the room for more money in Atlanta when he's made over $100 million in his career already? And why would you want to back up Trae Young in Atlanta when he took the fourth most shots in the league, played his usage rate was the fourth highest, he played the 10th highest minutes? You're nothing but the backup point guard. He averaged 9 assists. It's not like you're going to be a co-starter with Trae. You're going to play 2 6-1 guys in your backcourt? Yeah, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know, see you.
Stop.
What about the Lakers?
What about them?
Now
you're getting excited about that.
We got you 25 minutes. Yep. You have a championship.
Yep. He was your third most valuable player.
Yes.
You would not have won the championship without him.
Yeah, man, let's
and
not
the
go,
Clippers
let's,
would have won the championship with him.
They
would have closed the deal 3 times against the Nuggets with Rondo to settle them down and get them home.
Chris, I'm trying to figure out all these people that was telling me after Kawhi won the championship in Toronto that he was the equivalent to LeBron James, that he could do all that. He's such a willing passer. Doc, I didn't realize he could pass the ball that well. I didn't realize he could do all this. And when the rubber needed to meet the road, you got a 3-1 lead, and they walk you down.
Wait a second. LeBron had Rondo. Kawhi didn't have Rondo. That was
the
difference.
You got Paul George.
Okay.
You got Pat Bev.
Well, you got Anthony Davis.
You got Pat Bev.
You used to have KCP. You don't even have him anymore.
Clippers may make some moves. I mean,
with what?
Ev, Lou Will, Trez Harrell. Like, I'm not saying they're definitely gone, but it's a possibility.
Why would you trade Pat Bev?
They won't give him away and let him walk, but it's a possibility. And with Rondo, his role, I don't know if he's dead set on starting. I know he's not dead set on playing 35 minutes a night.
Right.
But I think his focus is what will my role be in the playoffs? And while the Lakers will have a role for him, if Schroeder's got it going, that role is going to be limited. So I still think he has a bigger role with the Clippers. Whether he starts or not, he would play more with them during the regular season. And then in the playoffs, I think his role would be bigger there too.
But, I mean, think about it. You got Magic. Remember, we went in 3 guards. We went Rondo, Braun, and Caruso.
Good. Stick with Caruso. That's all you got.
Oh, the Caruso.
Congratulations.
And now we got Schroeder, and we're gonna have Rondo. Rondo ain't going nowhere.
Shannon, it's over. Rondo's going to the Clippers. It was a done deal from minute one. Skip. As soon as that season was over, it was clear he would go to the Clippers.
It's just getting started. Mm. I know you want to say this with the coach, but this title right here, about to be number five. LeBron about to be 5 and 6 with 5 finals MVPs. I can't wait.
Do you realize what Rondo did for you in the playoffs? His minutes went up to 25 a game. He averaged 9, 4, and 7 with 1.4 steals. He shot 40% from three.
Love it.
It was perfect. You had to have that. It was the crucial contribution. You're not going to get that from Caruso.
Don't do that. First of all that would have meant was LeBron James would have had to get average 15 assists tonight. Mm. I mean, because we know what he's capable of. Because we saw him during the playoffs. We saw him average that. Remember? So, Skip, don't do this. I'm not trying to minimize Rondo, but I won't let you minimize GOAT James either, because you saw what he did. Finals MVP, 3 different teams. Who else can say that? Mm. Will anybody ever be able to say that again, Skip?
Oh, probably Kawhi Leonard, but that's all another issue.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So you gave a guy Finals MVP to average 13 points a game. Mm. Really, Skip? Mm. Really?
Yep. He shut down LeBron. I know that.
Boy, I sure wish. Guess what? I wish somebody would shut me down averaging 28, 7, and 6.
I wish somebody could blow LeBron's team off the court by a record finals margin, which happened. My Spurs did that to LeBron James in 2014.
No.
You impressed?
You see what you did? You see what he, Chris, you saw what he did right there? He said his team blew LeBron James, not the Heat, because it was just LeBron James against the Spurs. You saw how he did that? But then when LeBron James won the title, Rondo, he wouldn't have run it without Rondo.
Mm. I'm still, the APB is still out on LeBron James in that series. I don't know what happened.
What series?
He just disappeared. They're still looking for him in San Antonio. 28,
7, and 6, yep. He disappeared, huh?
Still looking for him. Hey, he cramped,
still
though.
For him.
Cramped in game
and
one.
You know, AB, AD going to be even better.
Yeah.
AD doesn't got a taste. Skip, you know animals, once they get a taste of blood,
yeah.
That championship blood is in his mouth now. I can see 2 or 3.
Be a lot better.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey.
He's going to be a lot better.
Chris Broussard, thank you for your time. I can't believe it. We've got a little over a month till we're back in action. So plenty to talk about. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.